Spread your arms wide. Really try to take up space. There are so many parts of this life in which we have to make ourselves small.
That's yoga sensation Jessamine Stanley, the self-described Black, fat, queer yoga instructor who recently taught a virtual Zoom class for hundreds of fans who follow her at theunderbelly.com, read her first book, Yoga for Everybody, and are tuning into this virtual evening from WBUR City Space to hear about her second book, Yoke, Y-O-K-E. Now, that's a play on a typo in the first book. She wrote, yoga yoked people together, yolk like an egg. She meant it yokes them, Y-O-K-E's them, brings people together like oxen. In other words, Jessamine Stanley made a mistake. She's human.
Take a deep inhale through your nose. Then exhale it out of your mouth. Let it go.
She is overweight and well aware of the health aspects of that. Thank you very much. She has a nutrition plan. Mostly, she's concerned about race and appropriation in yoga, asking, how did a practice steeped in spirituality in India get represented in the U.S. by thin white women in expensive yoga garb in wealthy neighborhoods? In one teacher training class early on, she was asked to watch a film in which famous American actors waxed on about yoga's spiritual Indian roots. Everyone in the film is white.
When I brought up that I was uncomfortable with us watching this video where we are basically being treated to like appropriation 101, white people appropriating South Asian culture, and my teacher literally just was like, I never thought about that. Who likes to think of themselves as a colonizer? No one else in my class had an issue with the video. I felt like I had caused a problem in the class, but I feel like anytime that the practice does not sit well with your spirit, there's no reason to continue to be in that space. And even this is something that comes up in the chapter White Guilt, where I talk about racism. I say, I'm not talking to white yoga people about race anymore. I think that a lot of times we try to make our journeys about other people or like try to project onto other people. And it's like, it's not about, that's their yoga, that's their practice, let them do their thing.
Do you mind talking about it for a few minutes now?
please, yeah.
You were at an event and a tall Black man in the back of the room raised his hand and said, I'm usually the only Black man in a class filled with white women. Mm-hmm. I'm not comfortable.
I mean, honestly, totally floored me because my internalized racism is so deep. I did not know I was allowed to ask that question. What am I supposed, what are we, because I realized when he said it, I was like, I feel this way all the time. And specifically for Black men who our society, I mean, the relationship between white women and Black men in our society, and that he's like, I'm literally in this space where I'm supposed to be finding my own, my inner chill or accepting myself. And I'm in a room full of people who have been taught to be afraid of me. Like, what is that? What is that? The yoga practitioner in me says that that's the yoga. But on a practical level, just as like person to person, I'm like, that's nobody wants to feel that way. No one wants to feel excluded in that way.
Well, I'm not going to ask you what white women should do about that, because that's not your job. That's not his job. Is it just about our, you know, letting those thought, whatever thoughts we have, pass through? It's not about saying we're not having thoughts, because we are.
Yes, please. Oh my God. I know that I said, I don't want to talk to white yoga people about this, but I'll go back because I totally do. This is why we have collective practice. This is the first time yoga has existed for thousands of years. And this is the first time where people have practiced collectively in this way. It's so that we can heal these deep systemic problems that exist beyond the yoga world. And I think that we are afraid to feel the saddest, scariest thing. Like, I don't like my own internalized racism. I can get how you wouldn't like yours either. And I think that what ends up happening is this kind of, like, how can we fix it for Black people so that they feel comfortable? Black people are good. You don't need to worry about that. What can happen is that each individual person can just stand in the fact that, yes, I am a product of racism. I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just letting it all be there. And what it looks like to let it all be there, not seeing somebody else as the other.
Well, this brought us to what Jessamine Stanley calls the yoga world wars. She said she was told she'd be on the cover of the prestigious yoga journal. They came to her home in Durham, North Carolina. They did a photo shoot. But when she went to buy the magazine on the racks, another woman was on the cover. Jessamine said she was told it was the first time the magazine issued two covers. I asked her if that hurt.
It did hurt. It did hurt. But I will say it was not the first time that I thought there was a seat at the table for me. And in fact, there was not a seat at the table. My experience is growing up in a predominantly white town, going to a all-girls boarding school for high school, now working in a predominantly white, deeply fatphobic industry. This was not the first time that something like that had happened to me. And so while I was very upset that day, as I was the first fat Black person to be on the cover of Yoga Journal, and I was sad, I was more introspective, I think, than anything else. Why am I striving for the approval of this predominantly white institution? How much has that been a part of my life? Quite a bit, actually, if I really am honest with myself and I look back at my life. I knew that I was being tokenized by Yoga Journal. I was very comfortable with that. Why is that the case? Where does the desire to assimilate come from? All of these questions came up for me that are things that, yeah, I would rather not look at that.
Can we talk about your body? Is it that you have tried to lose weight and you couldn't, and you've concluded, you know what, this is my body. We come in all different shapes. Or is it that you embrace the fuller body? Where is your approach to your body?
I've always been fat. We could have a whole conversation about the experience of my mother being bedridden for a huge part of my childhood, and my brother and I pretty much raising ourselves on ramen noodles. Like that doesn't really set you up to have a great relationship with food. These are the things that people don't talk about with fat identity. Fat people are not allowed to be human. We are often told that we are the before in a before and after, and that if we don't get to the after, then our lives are not worthwhile. And so for me, accepting my fat body has been a really crucial part of owning who I am as a whole person, so that even if I lose a bunch of weight, I am still fat. Like, I still understand myself in that way. I think it has more to do with self-acceptance than anything else. The point of the chapter, It's a Full-Time Job Loving Yourself, is that when we talk about body acceptance and body liberation, it very much seems like you like wave a wand and you're like, poof, oh my God, I love my body every day. I never have to think about self-hate ever again, girl. I am so happy. And that's just not the case. Like, I still have ups and downs, but it's accepting the ups and downs. I think it's very important to curate the images that are around you and to curate the people and voices that are in your space, because we don't even notice what we're taking in. But if you're around like body negative, fat shaming people, you are only ever going to spew body negativity and fat shaming. So maybe you stop hanging out with that person so much. Like, when you're on Instagram, like, who are you following? What is the messaging that's being expressed? Unfollow people that are not making you feel good about yourself.
You know, we talked in 2017. Do you think you've changed because of this, just not just the huge tsunami of love, but the negative that comes with it?
Absolutely. It didn't feel this way at the time, but one of the great benefits of my life is that I was bullied pretty badly when I was in middle school. Bullies bully because they are sad themselves. So whenever I receive negative feedback on social media, I really feel that that person is coming from a very sad place. It makes me want to hug that person, honestly. But I think the biggest shift for me personally has been not trying to hide away the parts of my body that I have been told to be ashamed of. How can you ever expect to be whole with yourself if you are making excuses for whole pieces of yourself?
As a child, you tried to get as small as you possibly could.
Mm-hmm. Not just physically, but definitely as emotionally small, as spiritually small, trying not to take up space. I and many other people have been told, you're too big, too much, you're doing too much, just calm down. Don't be so much. It's too much to take in. I'm sure it is a lot. I'm sure I am a lot. Light shines bright. It's not going to be small. And it is scary to people. And that's okay.
Jessamyn Stanley, wow, we just got to hang out a little bit. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The feeling is mutual. Thank you, Robin.
And Jessamyn Stanley's new book is Yoke, Y-O-K-E, not the egg, but yoke, as in yoga, yokes people together. Her previous book is Yoga for Everybody. Her website is theunderbelly.com. You can practice yoga with her there. You can shop. Great merch.